sitting in the stand of the sports arena, waiting for the show to begin. Red lights, green lights, strawberry wine, a good friend of mine follows the stars. Venus and Mars are all right tonight.
Hello again and Happy New Year from I've Got a Beatles podcast, and we're very excited to be back for another year of Beatling. Lots of fun and games here with Dave and Chris. And Chris, did you have a good holiday season?
Yeah, it was a great holiday season. I gave a gift of a couple of Beatles records to some people, so that was good. They enjoyed them. So,
now, did you get the Beatles mono vinyl box set like we discussed in our holiday gifts episode?
For some reason, nobody wanted to pop down $350 bucks on me this year. So
maybe next year.
Maybe next year. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, that's great, because one of the things we talked about in our holiday gift episode is actually going to be the subject of our podcast today, which is 40 years of Venus and Mars, Paul McCartney and Wings' 1975 album here, which was recently reissued and remastered with bonus tracks and all the good McCartney reissue treatment that we'll get into, but we're really interested in kind of revisiting the album itself and taking a listen once again with fresh ears.
Yeah, a really timely release of it, I guess. Some of these have seemed a little bit random, these Paul McCartney Archive Collection releases, but this one really timed up pretty well, and it's an excellent collection. For a change, you get quite a bonus track, kind of second disc, and we'll talk about the bonus track disc as well, but we'll more concentrate obviously on the original album. You know, this lineup, Dave, would you say this is the best of the Wings lineup?
Definitely. It depends what you mean, because it started out a little different on this album and there were a little personnel change here, but definitely the most of the tracks on this album, to me, it's the classic Wings lineup and definitely their best. And what we're talking about here, the album, you know, he had just recorded Band on the Run, and basically as a threesome with he and Linda and Denny Lane.
Two and a half some. No. Linda's
a full Linda's member here, right? Yeah. So after this point, which was not, you know, it was a tough album to record with the problems of being recording it in Nigeria and people quitting the band and all this, Paul decided it was time to get another group together and fill out the group. So he added the guitarist named Jimmy McCullough, a Scottish guy, who would stick with Wings for the next few years. And then they started out with a drummer named Jeff Britton. And he was a little different. If you watch the documentary One Hand Clapping, which I highly recommend, and amazingly, I just watched it for the first time, you'll see a lot of Jeff Britton drumming, and he's into karate also. So he's like doing karate chops and doing stuff for the camera. It's a little weird, but anyway. So they had this fivesome, and we're ready to record this album, which in New Orleans and in Nashville. But then, after a couple of tracks, it didn't work out so well with Jeff Britton. There were some personality clashes, and
yeah, I guess him and Jimmy McCullough
didn't work out. So suddenly, they had to get a drummer real quickly, and ended up getting a guy named Joe English, who was not actually English, who was American. But they got him, and then the group was officially formed as Wings, and as the group that would record Venus and Mars. So it was out of this turmoil, and, you know, is there ever an easy recording with McCartney? It always seems like there's some drama with people quitting or something happening. But they were down in New Orleans for some of this, and As a personal note, I think I mentioned in an earlier podcast that I have this penchant for going and finding Beatles sites.
Yeah.
Well, when I went to New Orleans a few years ago, I stayed at the Hotel Richelieu, which is in the French Quarter, and it's actually the same hotel where Wings stayed. And you can go up, and I found the room, and outside, I'll post a picture on our Facebook page. It says Paul McCartney Suite. So I asked if that was available, and the woman said, no. And I said, okay, well, I don't know what that means. But anyway, so, you know, it's a good idea, right? Change your setting. Let's go to New Orleans. It's a great music city. Nashville, great music city.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's what you come up with. So what are your thoughts on this lineup and kind of the way it came together?
Well, first off, I want to say what you're talking about the Nashville and New Orleans thing, I think it definitely influenced the album, the sound of the album, particularly all of the bonus tracks recorded in the same era. When we get to that, it almost sounds like a Americana album of sorts from Paul, and a very interesting kind of influences from American music. I think this is the Wings that Paul envisioned from the start. And though this might not be, I mean, it's hard to argue against certain other Paul McCartney and Wings albums as being a little bit better, this is probably the quintessential Wings as a band era.
Yes.
This Wings at the Speed of Sound, and then the you know, the live album, obviously. This is them at the height of their power. I mean, just like you know.
Yeah.
It's so
almost like it's almost like geared to be played live, like a lot of these tunes. It's the description I read in the review said it was kind of a attempt at arena rock, which was really becoming a big thing in the mid-70s.
And yeah,
you started right out with the first two songs are kind of, well, especially the second song is geared to be a show kind of song.
Yeah. And I it really makes me wonder if Jimmy McCullough had they all kind of stayed together for several more years, sort of different stuff we would have gotten out of, you know, if they really would have turned into like Wings as really something.
Yeah.
Instead of petering out by 1980.
Right.
So,
because he was a very good guitarist.
Oh yeah. He sounds great on this album. Just great.
Absolutely. So that first song, if we want to launch right in here, that first song that we started the podcast with is the title song, Venus and Mars. It's very brief, and one interpretation said that Venus and Mars refers to Paul and Linda.
They said no, it's not that. It's you know, sort of more of a what's your sign kind of thing. talking about astrology.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Although I did hear a good description of these two songs, which you never, ever, ever, ever hear apart.
No.
Which
is Venus and Mars and the next one, Rock Show.
Yeah. As Venus and Mars is atmospheric, whereas Rock Show is a barnstorming kind of half song. Well, let's play Rock Show. Let's play Rock Show, and then we'll talk about it.
Tonight.
There's the barnstorming rock show, according to Chris Ingram, who wrote that in The Rough Guide to the Beatles. He likes both songs. What do you think about these two songs, Dave?
Yeah, like you said, they have to go together, and it's perfect because if you watch the video of Rock Show, which was the concert video from the 76 tour, it starts out with the lights out and, you know, very mysterious what's going to happen with Venus and Mars. And then so they're singing it in the dark, and then the lights come on, and then Rock Show starts, and it's like everybody cheers. It's just very theatrical. Rock Show's classic, kind of, you know, lots of riffs and guitar driven, good beat. The lyrics are actually, it's a meta song about a rock show, and
yeah,
a rocker singing a song about a rock show, because he talks about being at the Concert Gabot, which is a venue, Long Hair, Madison Square Garden, Jimmy Page, all these.
The Hollywood Bowl.
Hollywood Bowl, yeah, yeah. So it's got all the elements in it. I think my favorite part is the kind of vamp that they do towards the end, where he talks about the ring on the end of his nose makes him look a little pretty.
Where Paul does a character?
Yes, where Paul does a character. Mademoiselle
in
Kitchy.
Full accent and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
it's pretty good. I like it. The lyrics are kind of dated, but it works.
Well, you know, what it most sounds like to me, which is odd because for the Art of McCartney, they chose this band to do a version of it, is Kiss.
Yeah.
It sounds like a classic Kiss hit song.
And that's classic arena rock, right?
Yeah. I've always been very much on the fence about Venus Mars Rock Show as a thing.
Yeah.
Some days I listen to it and I'm like, oh yeah, all right. And then some days it sounds like Paul trying to be more of a rocker than he is.
I will say his voice sounds very good. He's in screaming mode, Paul, which I always like. So
yeah,
that sounds pretty great.
A little bit later, I'll just go off on how great Paul sounds on a future one of these songs. But
very different than the next song that follows it up, which is like a complete change of character and change of sound, of tempo, texture, and everything. It's called Love in Song, and it's the first ballad proper on the album. And what are your thoughts on Love in Song? Are we going to listen to a little of it? Or?
Yeah, let's hear a little of it.
All right.
One of those classic like Wings sounds there towards the end of that clip. Work, 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 work. A
lot of synths on this one. I kept Linda busy with the synth parts there.
This was a real surprise to me when I did multiple listenings to this album. How much I enjoyed this track. It maybe slipped past me. Earlier, and I think it's a great song. And it sets up a lot of the themes of the album, this sort of like sort of traveling vibe a little bit. But I was surprised how many of these songs have to do with time or timelessness or thinking about the past. Quite a few of the songs in the album sort of have this sort of thing to them. And I think in listening to it now, here 40 years later, it's actually helping the album kind of age better.
Yeah.
Despite its, you know, silly synths and that kind of stuff in certain places.
Yeah, I'm probably a little less favorable towards this song. It took a while. It's always taken a little while to grow on me. I like the kind of mysterious acoustic guitar sound.
Yeah.
It to me, it feels a little long. Like it goes on maybe one verse too many. But it's a nice, I think that it's situated well in the album, and especially after the big pumping rock show. It's a good song to come down to, and to me, it's pleasant. It doesn't bother me one way or the other.
I really like Paul's vocals on it, too.
Yeah, he's
real good range.
Yeah, definitely. So you have this ballad, and then it's followed by, this is just, doesn't get any more stereotypical McCartney than the next song here with his pastiche of You Gave Me the Answer, of the old soft shoe kind of music here. So I'm very curious to hear your thoughts. So let's hear You Gave Me the Answer, the next track.
You gave me the answer.
Yes.
Well, for what it is, I think it's well done. It's very Martha My Dears-esque.
Mm-hmm. Honey Pie and
yeah. When
I'm 64, that same style.
Yeah. It does have a little hint of what I was talking about. There's a line in it, heading back to old familiar places. Just almost as time travel... Maybe just the time travel part of it is more successful than anything on this album that tries to be spaceship or sci-fi related. There seems to be a couple things shoehorned in there of that. And I think that this, when you listen to the second disc of this, the bonus tracks, it kind of fits in more almost with that kind of stuff.
The more Americana stuff.
Americana.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely, definitely influenced by American music. This one.
Oh yeah.
The 20s. What do you think?
Harmless. he just does these things so well. Of the Beatles, he probably had the most affinity towards American popular song. We're talking like Tin Pan Alley and songs by Cole Porter or Richard Rodgers, people like that. And this fits in very well. It's got the same type of form, has the orchestration. It just has that feel of like the 20s and 30s sound. Yeah, it's catchy. I'll give you that. It's very catchy. I'm not a big fan of the introduction, though. It's kind of...
What's the purpose of that?
Yeah, exactly. Not sure.
But it's short.
It's short. Yeah, it's cute.
I think I like it just a little bit because if you get the emails from the Paul McCartney, you've signed up to the Paul McCartney emails. It's this is the name of his. He's answering questions from the fans.
That's right.
Segment. So
that's pretty cool.
Which is kind of clever. But it's not a heavyweight song.
No.
It's definitely light fare, but I think it fits well in this album.
And I like the line, you actually, your idea about time and nostalgia. That line is pretty good if you continue with what you read. Heading back to old familiar places, then the next line is places where the cobwebs blow away. That's a pretty nice phrase, actually. I like how he uses the last, the last word of the phrase becomes the first of the next, and
yeah,
pretty nice lyric. So anyway, yeah, so that's You Gave Me the Answer, followed
now this next one. I happen to know Dave is excited about this one,
because
it's a very underrated song, I feel like. And it's Magneto and Titanium Man.
The comics. Did you read comics as a kid?
Yeah, I was really big into DC comics, so Batman and The Flash and stuff like that.
Yeah, because did you ever come across Magneto and Titanium Man?
I did not.
Did not. Oh,
okay. I did not. I believe they're Marvel.
Yeah, characters. It'd be a different. Yeah, different company, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is kind of that sci-fi fantasy kind of song here. The music is, I voted this on my underrated McCartney list when we, one of our first episodes way back.
Yeah.
And I really like the feel of this one. Plus it has a Fender Rhodes on it keyboard, which is pretty rockin', and it's got a good groove.
I think this is a great track, partially because it is, sort of quintessential Wings, mm-hmm. which is lyrics that might not be all that deep, but super fun music happening, great background vocals,
yeah,
and Paul giving an excellent performance, particularly when he goes into sort of the shouting and the doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo's. It's just... It's, you know, the passion sings to what is kind of a silly song. Though Stan Lee, who created the characters from Marvel, said he thought it was terrific. He gave it a big thumbs up.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just seems to me as the quintessential Wings song.
Yeah, I would agree definitely with that. Yeah, so very good. It kind of... It's really kind of schizophrenic. If you take these three songs in a row here of Love and Song, followed by You Gave Me the Answer, and then Magneto and Titanium Man, just all over the map stylistically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But somehow it fits together pretty well.
Yeah, it does. As does the next song, which is kind of a hit, right?
Yeah, and you know, Jimmy McCullough, who sounded good on Magneto and Titanium Man as well, on this one, it's just great. It's got a good groove with some bass and guitar lick. Now, the single version of this, it's a little less pronounced, but we're going to listen to the album track of Letting Go.
Like wine.
Ooh, man, he sounds good on vocals, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He sounds good. Jimmy McCullough sounds amazing on this one.
Yeah.
And the bass.
Oh.
You know, I bet you, too, I haven't really gone back and listened to non-remastered version of this, but I bet you this is one of them that really, the remastering really improves it.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe there's a little bit too much on the horns on this one, and I'm not sure what the purpose of the key change and the extra minute of this song is.
No, it's a little long.
Yeah, I just think they could have lost the key change altogether and kind of... Yeah. It's a good live song, though.
Maybe, I was going to say, maybe that's the reason. Like, it works better. This song, you could see the audience really grooving and kind of moving around to this song, and you have the guitar solo, and maybe it's really a better live type song. It could be.
Yeah, I think so. Now you'd flip the record over, right?
Yep.
And what would you get?
Well, in case you'd forgotten what the album sounded like when it started, you get another little snippet of Venus and Mars Reprise. But the lyrics are a little different here in this one.
Yeah, it's a little more, this one's a little more of that what I was talking about, sci-fi kind of thing.
Here are the lyrics. Standing in the hall of the great cathedral, waiting for the transport to come, Starship 21ZNA9. A good friend of mine studies the stars. Venus and Mars are all right tonight.
Yeah. Sort of a strange... there was a line in there, too. A strange vacation, which I think is the sort of travel... Not just travel through time, but traveling around with a band and traveling through space, I guess, a little. And, you know, they're losing the narrative a little bit on me. But I will say it very smoothly goes into the next track.
Yeah.
which is sure to be a topic here for us. Let's hear a little bit of Spirits of Ancient Egypt.
You're my baby, and I love you. You can take a pound of love and when you finish doing that, I know what you want to do. Cause you're my baby, and I love you. I'm your baby.
Well, you know, I was just thinking, Chris, you mentioned about coming away on a strange vacation that Paul sings right before this. Maybe he had in mind a trip to Egypt.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's what it was, because that's where we're going. This is Spirits of Ancient Egypt, except Paul isn't the one who's taking us there, is he?
No, Denny Lane is. I guess it's kind of nice to hear someone else singing at this in this slot, but it's kind of a dumb song. it fits here nice to give Denny some of the vocals, but... And Paul carries some of the water on this one, because he sings, he and with lots of background vocals sing the Spirits of Ancient Egypt part. But there's a lot of stuff in this song I'm not a big fan of, particularly the... It ends with sort of like a telephone, like somebody mentions a telephone, and then it's sort of like a jam of a telephone wire sound or something.
Yep.
Just and Denny Lane isn't a knockout performer vocally, so there's a lot of minuses.
Yeah, for me the lyrics are really bad, really phoned in.
Yeah,
just take the first line here: "You're my baby and I love you." All right, that's already pretty trite. You can take a pound of love and cook it in the stew.
Yeah.
And if you didn't like that, keep going. I'm your baby. Do you love me? I can drive a Cadillac across the Irish Sea.
Yeah. What on earth does that have to do with the spirits, the magical spirits of ancient Egypt?
I have no
idea. Very confusing. Very confusing.
Yeah.
That one is followed by another vocal gem.
Yeah, we have this. That's something we should mention here. This album, we actually hear multiple singers of the band, and that's something that would also happen with the next album. So I don't know if Paul was trying to, if he felt like maybe it was a little too much Paul-centric, and so he wanted to spread the wealth and let the other guys sing, or...
Yeah, and that's why it doesn't bother me so much, particularly Spirits of Ancient Egypt, because you still get some Paul on it, but it's sort of like, hey, this is, I feel like he felt like, this is it. This is Wings. This is what I wanted. It's not Paul McCartney and Wings. It goes back to just being Wings.
Right.
And from the next couple of albums, it feels like it's the whole group. We're all chipping in.
Yeah.
Got our sleeves rolled up. So it doesn't bother me as far as that goes. But if you take either of these individual tracks out and they're coming up and say Shuffle, I'm like, ugh. Ugh, gross. Medicine Jar.
Yeah.
Which is the next track, Jimmy McCullough. Complete filler. not awful.
Guitar sounds really good.
Jimmy's voice is okay at best. That's the big problem with that.
Yeah.
But once again, I like that idea, Wings as a band. So, and there's another slight. The lyrics are mostly garbage, but
well, the lyrics are ironic because it's about not, you shouldn't do drugs because look what's going to happen to you, and then a few years later, Jimmy McCullough got into the medicine jar a little too much and had an overdose. So, the lyrics, it's okay. This is another song that I didn't mind too much on Wings Over America because it's a jamming song. It has a lot of guitar.
Yeah.
I'm a guitar player, so I love to hear Jimmy play. But, yeah, it is kind of a filler track.
Yeah. Well, after those two fillers, we get right back into some major Paul.
Yeah.
Here. So let's go right into a song called Call Me Back Again.
That's a workout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He really sings the crap out of this one.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he really wails on it. And if he didn't, and he just, like, read the lyrics, be pretty
weak.
Kind of weak of a song.
Yeah.
But I think it wins the day. His vocal performance on this alone wins the day, and it's a pretty decent song.
Yeah, and it's also to help, I think, maybe to kick him into singing even better. The horns really add a lot to this one. Keeps him driving forward and keeps the momentum going. Horns on this one were played by Tom Scott, who would also be working with George Harrison around the same time period. But the horns add a lot. This one reminds me, it's has sort of a New Orleans flavor to it, a bluesy New Orleans American type sound.
A little soul
sound. Yeah, definitely. So I think it's a pretty great song, actually. Again, the lyrics are not anything to speak of, but he sings them so passionately and so strongly. You got to believe it.
Yeah, I like it. Mm-hmm. I like it. I like the energy of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And the energy of that song is not to be surpassed by a big hit song, which we all know, which is the big winner of the track. I mean, even in reviews I've read of this album where they're like, I don't really like this album. It's mostly forgettable. Mm-hmm. They all say, except for, listen to what the man said.
All right, okay. Very good to see you down in New Orleans, man. Yeah, Harry. Yeah, yeah. Anytime.
Listen to what the man said. What do you think, Dave?
Oh, big fan. Always loved that song. Got a really great feel. Singing's good. Linda sounds pretty good on the background vocals in a few places.
Yeah.
I like the guitar line, the do-do-do, do-do-do-do-do. Very catchy. One of the reviews I read said this one's just so, I think you said it too, but very smooth.
Yeah.
It's just everything is just so sweet and smooth together.
This is right on the border of that thing that maybe Silly Love Songs goes across,
mm-hmm.
which is like right at the edge of corny. I mean, Soldier Boy Kisses Girl, kissy sound.
Yeah, yeah.
is probably the pushing it just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of the song is do 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 do, but for some reason it just works. That Tom Scott soprano saxophone sounds great.
Yeah,
Dave Mason of Traffic fame plays a guitar on this one. It's just really really a nice track. I always loved it when it came up on All the Best.
Oh yeah,
which was my jam back in the day.
Well, what do you think about the difference between this? The album track is different than the single because the single's shorter. They cut off that ending where it kind of goes on for a while. It's, I don't know, about at least a minute or so shorter. Do you like the kind of halftime feel of the album track?
Yeah, I really, too, like that it goes into this sort of what it essentially ends up working on the album as a sort of connecting piece, sort of like almost like an interlude thing. But I always liked hearing that.
Yeah.
Now the little beginning where he's, I said he was playing a character for the second time on the album where he's playing the man.
Here we go.
All right.
Yeah.
You know, probably the same. Maybe it's the same rock and roll character from Rock Show.
He's coming back at the end of the album here. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. But it sort of transitions very well into Treat Her Gently, Lonely Old People.
Treat her gently. Treat her kind. She doesn't need
So treat her gently, lonely old people. Yeah, what do you think?
Well there's that time thing again, this sort of like lonely old people bit. I just, are these just two half ideas kind of smushed together?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, it doesn't, for some reason it kind of works to close the album out, but it's a weak closer, I would say. Maybe why they felt the need to tack something on after it. What do you think?
I would agree. It does seem like a bit of a strange ending. By themselves, actually, I think they're very beautiful and pretty sophisticated musically in terms of the chord progressions and the harmonies and everything. It just seems a little misplaced. I'm not sure. Yeah, it doesn't really fit quite so well. You couldn't end with Listen to What the Man Said, because that was a single. You don't end with a single, but it seems a little odd to me at this point. But I do like the actual music itself.
Yeah. I'm very torn on that one, because when I was analyzing it, I'm like, what does the treat her gently, treat her kind have to do with the lonely old people part?
Not much. I guess maybe be nice to older people. I don't know.
Or be nice to your lover and then you'll be lonely old people otherwise.
Where no one asked us to play.
No one asked us to play.
Yeah.
Maybe this whole thing is in the mind of an old man who never was a rock and roller.
Yeah.
Or this whole thing is
hard to figure out. Yeah.
Maybe this is an ancient Egyptian. and his advice to everyone.
Could be.
I don't know. And then it ends with a little sort of credits sort of like, it's called Crossroads Theme. It's just a little ending credits sounding 1 minute long piece.
Yeah, it was a TV show, or is it? Yeah, that was a British TV show. And so I don't know the purpose, like a soap opera. And I'm not sure if they would put this in there. According to the notes that I have, it was used, this particular theme ended shows when there was a cliffhanger ending with a hint of sadness involved.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I'm not sure what the cliffhanger
is. Did the lonely old people die?
But that could be the sadness.
We don't know.
That might be it. But I don't know. One review I read said it's to wake people up after treat her gently, lonely old people. But I don't know. It's a little odd. The sequencing of the album is a little unusual. Can you think of a better of the songs, the rest of the songs that are on the album? Can you think of a good one to end with? Maybe a reprise of Rock Show, or
yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's hard to think.
Or better yet, some one of the bonus tracks that didn't make it on the actual album.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about those bonus tracks, Dave. Yeah. Now this now we're very much talking about the 2014 remaster Paul McCartney Archive Collection. Even the standard edition is a 2-CD one. The deluxe, nice. You get a DVD, and of course the super, all that other garbage that comes with it.
Lithograph.
A big lithograph and a 128 page numbered book. I want to say to our listeners, if any of you have bought any of these big deluxe edition Paul McCartney Archive Collections, please write us a message either on our Facebook page or contact us through somehow contact us through one of the ways you can contact us and let us know what you think of them, if you think it was worth the money, that kind of thing, because neither of us have purchased either of any of these. Although I did see the set in stores and it looks beautiful. Of course, it's the Venus and Mars black with a red and yellow ball, which is a pretty good album cover, don't you think?
I do. It was done by Linda. It was actually a photo of Linda's. So pretty nice cover. Very memorable. Yeah, well, Mars is the red planet after all, so I guess that works.
So now we're going to talk about this disc too. Now, I feel like this is one of the best collections of oddities. It doesn't sound like a collection of oddities as much as a very smartly curated kind of like put together almost like second album. Like, if this album had gone another direction and was a very Americana album of Paul reflecting on his time in America, I think that's what you get here. Because you get a lot of the influenced by American music tunes here. Kind of collected all in the same place for the first time. It starts with, of course, the big single, a big hit, Junior's Farm. I'm assuming that Dave and I are going to talk in very much depth about Junior's Farm in an upcoming episode, maybe even this year.
Could be. Stay tuned.
Yeah. So we'll just say Junior's Farm, excellent starter.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes into a country song recorded when they were in Nashville. A very Nashville lyric right off the bat. And it's called Sally G. Let's take a listen to it.
Somewhere to the south of New York City lies the friendly state of Tennessee. Down in Nashville town I met a pretty, made a pretty big fool out of me. And they call her Sally, Sally G. Why do you wanna do the things you do to me? You're my Sally, Sally G. Took the part that was the heart of me.
So Sally G, one of my favorite unreleased, well, I mean it was released, but non-album McCartney songs, has an interesting history. I've been reading Man on the Run, which is a book we recommended in our holiday gift episode about Paul's 70s tales and escapades. But here's a quote or a little excerpt from it. So the next day, after a big party and booze and big partying, Jeff Britton found Paul sitting on a stoop at the farmhouse with his guitar, completing the lightly country-flavored song called Sally G. Set amid the previous night's shenanigans, the song has McCartney falling in love with the titular girl who serenades him with Hank Snow's A Tangled Mind before breaking his heart. That was my imagination adding to the reality of it. So, actually was based on real events and has a nice guitar sound. I like that one.
Yeah, I really think it... I'm not saying it made me pine for a fully country Paul album, but had he done one, I think this hints at like, oh, it might have actually been somewhat not bad.
Yeah,
yeah. Certainly better than maybe Ringo's country dabblings. That's followed by a song written by credited to Jim McCartney, which is Paul McCartney's father. It is called Walking the Part with Eloise. What do you think of that one?
Well, it's an instrumental, and yeah. Not really sure why it's done. What I read was that he played this for his father, played his version, and his father said, oh, I don't know if I really wrote that. It was all improvised. I'm not sure. I don't remember.
Oh.
Yeah.
So then he probably didn't put it on that. I was going straight to the album, but
yeah.
he didn't pull it. You know what it sounded like to me? It sounded like if there was a play set in the 20s and they had an act break, or they had you're getting back in your seats from the second half, that this would play.
I like that.
To kind of get your, because it's like something to get the people like, okay, let's get ready to watch.
Part two.
part two. That's followed by another sort of an intriguing instrumental. I thought it was pretty good. It sounds sort of American-y to me for some reason, although I have no real reason to know that. It's called Bridge on the River Suite. So very strange kind of song.
What do you think about McCartney instrumentals? Do you think he should have done more instrumental songs?
Oh, he's done plenty.
Yeah. Heather was enough. Well, most of Heather, right?
Heather, yeah.
Yeah. Creen Acror from McCartney.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Creen Acror is pretty good. Yeah. There's some good ones. Yeah. Were we to collect them all on one album, though, I don't think. Like, there's a David Bowie collection called All Saints, which collects all of his instrumental stuff, and it's just dynamite. You're like, oh, this is so interesting and strange. I think these would mostly be slight.
Yeah. Exactly.
Speaking of slight, My Carnival, It's a Lovely Day. That is the entirety of the lyrics to My Carnival. Though I mean, it's right up there with Freedom on repetitiveness. In this collection, just where it sits in this collection, it kind of works. It's kind of like a fun thing.
He's very hammy with his voice, too. Kind of Elvis-like, almost, in a few places.
Yeah, and I'm sure if you've gotten the DVD, because you got the, you know, you spent the $70 for the big ticket item, you watched recording My Carnival.
Yes. Which,
how could that be anything but awesome?
Yeah.
that's followed by Going to New Orleans, in parentheses, My Carnival, which is a kind of a fun little thing with some pretty good drums. Very, very, he's being jazzy and Louisiana-y. And then that's followed by Hey Diddle, which is a stupid title. And a, you know, though, now that Linda's passed away, we were listening to it. Me and my lady friend Hillary were listening to it in the car, and it kind of seemed a little sweet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, it's him and Linda just kind of singing along with each other.
And I'm a sucker for any McCartney acoustic playing. He just is so underrated as an acoustic guitar player, even on something kind of slight like this song.
Yeah.
Still pretty great.
I mean, it's kind of lame, but it's also very sweet.
Yeah, so. Yeah, exactly.
Now, this next track is obviously just like a demo here, but this really stood out to me as being one I'd like to listen to a few more times and that I wish had been developed into a full song, and it's called Let's Love. So let's listen to that one. So that's a little bit of Let's Love. I really like that one. It really sounds great. I almost want him to like go back and dig into his old catalog and take a track like that.
It was written for Peggy Lee, whose version sounds quite a bit different. But that song almost could fit on Kisses on the Bottom or that kind of style. Maybe it's a little more interesting than some of those songs, but definitely that style for sure.
Yeah, jazz vocalist Paul.
Yeah, right. Right.
Okay, now as far as stupid lyrics go, one of the all-time Paul champions, although it's a decent band jam tune, is Soily.
This song,
this is a version from One Hand Clapping,
and actually it was if you have Wings Over America, this is their closer.
Yeah. And
which is surprising that it, you know, didn't really do more, and they never really played it after that point, because it is a really rockin' song. Yeah. And the lyrics are just filler lyrics, but this great groove and good guitar playing. And
are you ready to get sorely? That's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
That part of it. Now, also ridiculous, but something I just love hearing. Also from One Hand Clapping, which is a real fun thing, One Hand Clapping.
Definitely recommend watching it.
Is Babyface, which is, you know, everybody knows the song Babyface. Let's hear a little bit of Paul doing Babyface.
We'll get the chords right this time. Oh, baby face, you've got the cutest little baby face. There's not another who can take your place. Oh, baby face, my poor heart is jumping. You sure have started something, baby face. I'm up in heaven when I'm in your firm embrace. Shove. I just went and fell in love with pretty little baby. Talk about a little baby.
There's a little baby face. Now, when I hear that, I'm like, oh, what if Kisses in the Bottom had been that fun?
I know.
You know?
And lively. And
yeah.
Yeah. That's an oldie. That's from 1926. It goes back a long ways.
Yeah.
But it's very fun, and the trombone in the back, and it's a good one. It's lots of fun.
Now a very Wingsy instrumental follows that with a very odd name, Lunchbox Odd Socks, and it seems to be two sections, and one I assume is Lunchbox section, and then the other one transitions to Odd Socks.
And we should say it's Odd Socks like the Chicago White Sox, S-O-X.
Yeah. Who knows why? Yeah. Who knows? Do you have the Lunchbox Odd Sox story for us?
I don't, actually.
I don't think anybody dug into it. Like,
no.
Tell us more about Lunchbox Odd Sox. Once again, another little underdeveloped song follows that, 4th of July. Not a bad vocal from Paul on that. It's a pretty good. Had that made an album, I'm sure it would have been a good song.
Yeah.
But for some reason, abandoned. That is followed by a good demo of Rock Show. We'll close the show with that. And that version sounds a lot like the band Big Star to me.
I could hear that. That's a good,
And then, the single version of Letting Go, which just shortens it by a minute and is, weak compared to the album version because there's less pronounced guitar in it. So, all right, well...
Yeah, very, very healthy amount of bonus tracks, and really interesting, diverse tracks, too.
Yeah.
That are not just, you know, the same demos of songs that were already on the album. There's only a couple of those. So, very generous collection there. I like that.
Yeah, I think it's one of the better second discs. You really get a bang for your buck for it. So, I highly recommend purchasing Venus and Mars if you don't have it in this two disc form, or you know, if you want to get the deluxe version, go crazy.
Yeah.
What would you give it a ratings wise? Just the original album, Dave.
The original 13 tracks, I would probably give about a 7 out of 10.
I think I'm right with you. 7 on the dot. Some days it seems like a 6. Some days it seems like an 8.
Yeah, depending on what track comes up. Yeah.
I really think this remastered version is really terrific, though. It makes some of these songs sound better than they actually probably are.
That's for sure. Yeah,
really kind of. The addition of this extra disc is it really pushes it up to almost like an 8 or 9. It's great.
Yeah, and it's pretty important in the Wings catalog and in the Beatles catalog. It was actually Paul's first non-Apple Records solo album that came out. And then also, it, as we said before, it was a springboard for the tour that would happen the next year. A lot of these songs he would play on the tour, and you can find them on Wings Over America. So it was important for that period of Wings. And as I agree with what you said earlier, that it is just the high point of Wings, the songs and the playing, and kind of had it all together.
Yeah.
So we might end with saying what's the inscription here in the actual album, where it ends by saying, "Rock on, lovers everywhere," because that's basically it.
All right, well, that's it for us. So we are very excited about this year and doing a lot of shows for you. We got a lot of great ideas on deck.
Yes.
So we'll do a lot of those, and we'll see you next time. Let's go out with the what they call rock show, in parentheses, old version.
And act.